In Psalm 118, it tells the people of God to do something that we can do today. And it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let all Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, what? His love endures forever. In my anguish I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. You know, when he says the Lord is with me, that sounds a little bit like Emmanuel, doesn't it? There's that sense of confidence that we are not alone. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in than to trust in princes. You know, we cannot trust in man. It doesn't matter what person gets voted in or what person gets voted out. We can trust in the Lord. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I don't know whether you've ever been on a farm and had some fun burning blackberry bushes. It's great fun burning blackberry bushes. Once you get that fire going, they just flare up. But then they're gone. And there's just nothing. If you can get the jolly things to burn. But they fade out quickly. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is high, is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. Would we do that today? This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Do you know that? Do you know the Lord is your salvation? Do you know him as Savior? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Doesn't that sound a little bit like the shepherds going to see the Lord Jesus? Let's go and see this thing that the Lord has done. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's stand and sing, how great are you, Lord.
How great are you, Lord. How great is your mercy. How great are the things that you have done for me. How great are you, Lord. Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord. How great is your love that reaches to the heavens. How great is your heart that sought and rescued me. How great are you, Lord. How great is your mercy. How great are the things that you have done for me. how great are you, Lord. Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing, how great are you, Lord.
It's filling my heart.
Is filling my heart as I sing, how great are you, Lord.
Our God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. With humble hearts this morning, and with voices raised, we proclaim your greatness. We proclaim your faithfulness towards us, O God. When we look back over just this past year only, we stand in awe and amazement of your favor that you so freely pour out upon us. So often we ask ourselves the question, O Lord, why? Why are you so good to us? Oh God, it's because of your love for us that you, Almighty God, you come and you live within us. You, Emmanuel, you have never gone away. You've come to stay and to live and to reign within us. Oh God, may our lives reflect as a church community the wonder of your love for all mankind. May we be that light that you shine out into the world. May you shine through us, O God, into the lives of this community. We thank and praise you this morning for what you have done in our lives, O God. Truly, you are a great God, and your love and your mercy, it endures forever. We may fail, we fall, we stumble, we hurt ourselves, but you pick us up and renew our spirits. And you restore our souls. And you lead us into your paths of righteousness for your glory. Father, we thank you that you care so much for us and about us that you want to live within us. God, as a church, we pray this morning for each and every member. We pray, O God, for those who need healing this morning, that by your almighty touch and by your power, that you will speak healing to those who need healing into their bodies, O God. For those who need to be saved from the powers of sin and of Satan. Lord, may you bring your salvation into their hearts and into their lives. May you melt their hearts, O Father, and bring light and hope and peace and joy where once there was darkness. That the light and the love of Jesus Christ will enter into hearts and into homes, even in this community, in the family of this church, members of God, we pray. We pray for each and every child, each and every grandchild of the people here today, O God, that you will claim these young people for your very own, that you will raise them up to be a beacon in your kingdom here, O God, we pray. May you save them for all eternity, for your honor and for your glory. We thank you for bringing us into this house this morning. You have directed our footsteps. You have brought us here for a purpose this morning. And so we say, oh Lord God, please speak to us. As we worship you, as we praise you this morning, may we hear your voice speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know whether you wonder whether that's those sort of words are the right words to sing. But you know, it says in the book of Acts that God gives you life and breath and everything that you need. He has ordained the exact time and place for you to live, and he did it so that you would know that he is not very far from you. He did it so that your life would bring praise to him. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how tough the year has been, and we've got no guarantees that 2021 is going to be any easier than 2020. But we do have a guarantee of the faithfulness of God, and as he gives you life and breath, then there's purpose for your being, that you might glory in how great he is. I'm asking if Brian would read from Philippians chapter 1. And you might turn your attention to his word.
Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers, all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do not so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ would be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. We came out of Christmas Day with the text up before us, that the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And the last words I spoke to you is that he did and he has. And the zeal of the Lord has accomplished your salvation. If you're one who's, as we sang in the very first song, if you're one whose life has been reborn, if you're one who has actually put your faith and your trust in Jesus, if you're one who's realized that you've struggled in your life with sin and you can't approach God on your terms. In fact, the very way that you live is offensive to him. But you realize that he has given you a gift of love and grace and forgiveness so that your life can be made right, can be made righteous before God because of Jesus Christ. And if you've put your trust and your faith in him and you've had the spiritual part of you gone from death to life, if you've become spiritually alive, then you're part of the church. You're part of the body of Christ. You're part of God's family, God's forever family. And that's the most amazing thing. And I love the fact that in Isaiah it says, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And he has. And he does. And I'm trusting even today that he would do that for some people that are here today and perhaps have never really trusted him fully. You've never really thought about the need to be born again, to be reborn, for the spiritual part of you to come alive. Perhaps you know the reality of some spiritual part of your being, but you've never really been connected to God, connected really for the first time. But God makes that possible by sending his son, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. Who else's birthday do you celebrate 2020 years later? But God did that. God moves toward us so that we can become part of his family, his forever family. Now, it's interesting, these words here are written to a church in a place called Philippi, up around sort of north of Israel, and sort of top part of the Mediterranean Sea. And I would have to flick to the back part of my Bible, and I don't need to lose my place to actually get the exact place to say what country. I think it's around Turkey area, but that doesn't really matter. And I love the fact that the Apostle Paul, the going had got tough for the Apostle Paul. It had got really tough for him as he had opposed Jesus when he was Saul, and he did what he thought he was doing, the right thing. He was not a big Jesus fan, and not a big fan of anybody that named the name of Jesus. And yet he turns around and writes these words. He was the one that used to drag other people into prison and give them a hard time for being followers of Jesus. Now he himself is in prison. But nothing can stop this guy. The going got tough, but he sees God's purpose fulfilled in that. And I love the fact that he and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, he addresses all the saints. And you know what? If you belong to Jesus, if you've asked Christ into your life, if you would know him as Savior and Lord, then you're one of the saints. You don't have to wait for there to be an investigation into your life and whether there can be some miracles counted against your name because you've prayed and you're this or you're that. I remember in Mudgee, I was meeting with the minister's fraternal, and it was only me and a nun that met this day. And anyway, she was trying to get me to come across because they had no music in the Catholic Church in Mudgee. And she said, oh, you know, if only you and Lynn would come across. And I said, well, you know, if I came across, then I wouldn't be able to really bring Lynn because, you know, you guys don't permit, you know, your ministers to be married, and I'm not going to become unmarried, I can tell you that much. And I said, but look, I'll pray that, you know, you'll get some musicians. Well, you know what, God, and I don't know why, but God answered my prayer. And there were musicians there the next week. Well, that put me right up there. I think there might have been a letter written to the Pope. I don't know which Pope it was at the time. And I don't know whether they're investigating whether I'm going to get a sainthood thing or whatever it is. No disrespect, but I tell you what, I'm already a saint. And so are you if you belong to Christ. You don't have to get an investigation happening into you to be given that privilege. Of course, Paul here says, to the saints who are in Christ. And that's great news. A lot of people struggle all their life to have some kind of identity. Well, man, I'm a saint. I belong in Christ. The identity thing is sorted. And it doesn't matter how big or how important or what you think of me. I belong to Jesus. And you belong to Christ if you're one of his family. And that's just the most amazing thing. That's the most liberating thing, to know that you belong in the family of God. You know what? You might not think I'm a big deal. You might not think I'm tall enough, handsome enough, or well-shaved enough. But God loves me and he's made me his. And that's liberating stuff. And I think the church is great when people know who they are in Christ. I think the church is great when they know that they've got grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the church is great when it knows the grace of God. God's undeserved favor. When we're deserving of wrath, he gives us his favor. The church is great when it knows his grace and when it knows his peace. When it knows the Prince of Peace. I think the church is great when it prays. And I don't know what it is about the way that I share with you about the prayer meetings, but I don't know whether there's anything I share with this church that has less avail than me encouraging you to come to pray. You might be able to give me a few pointers, say, Michael, well, if you did it this way, we might come. But it's a privilege to pray. And Paul is here in prison. The going has got tough for Paul. But in verse 3 he says, I thank my God every time. Every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Now I've been known to say that I actually, you know, people sort of don't know whether Paul was married or not. He obviously was because it says, I always pray with joy. Anyway, okay, so I'm quoting that slightly out of context. But he finds great joy in the privilege of prayer. And I find joy in the privilege of prayer. You should have been here this morning. We just had the most amazing time. It was beautiful. And it wasn't because I had something brilliant sorted out to make it good. It's because God was at work when people gather to pray. And it's a privilege. And if you don't make it your business to be with brothers and sisters to pray, you're missing out on something in your life. There's something that spiritually you're starved of. And I would encourage you, connect some way with brothers and sisters in prayer. And if we don't pray at the right times, just say, Michael, if you put a prayer meeting on at this time, I'll come. I will put that prayer meeting on. Because it's a privilege. And Paul is saying here that prayer is an important part of his life. He's in prison. He's got plenty of time on his hands. But he prays for the brothers and sisters, and he prays with joy, and he prays with thankfulness. And he prays, and he's grateful for their partnership in the gospel. And I believe the church is great when we know that we are partners in the good news. One of the things that we did not plan for this year, we didn't plan for a response to half of our shire catching a light. But God took a church that he knew would be up for responding, and we've had a partnership in the gospel in standing with people who've lost so much. They might have just lost fences. They might have lost sheds. They might have lost fences, sheds, and houses. And it's been a privilege to have that unfolding and for us just to catch up with what God is doing and to see God's provision. If you want to ask about God's provision, go and talk to Barry over there. Barry rings me up every now and again and says, what am I supposed to do with this money? Because somebody sent us a check for however many $1,000. Oh, yeah, well, that's for that. Oh, okay, well, we'll put it there. The provision has been amazing. God is God who is, his arms are not too short to supply when the church is on about a partnership in the gospel. And it's been a privilege and it's been exciting to be the church in that. I believe the church is great when it's confident that God is at work. I believe the church is great when its confidence is in the fact that God is always at work in his world. We don't ask him to join us. He invites us to join him. And God is at work in your life. And I wonder whether verse 6 might be special to you, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. And so I ask the question, what is it that God has brought adjustment in your life? Where has he brought transformation? Where is he wanting to bring reformation in your life? He's wanting to reform something good in you. Where are you seeing God at work? Where can you be confident? You can say, Lord, I feel so useless and so broken at times. Lord, I just need you to be at work in my life. He will. And you can be confident that the work that he's begun in you, he will carry on to completion. I believe the church is great when it lives with its confidence in Christ. In verses 7 and 8, it says this, it's right for me to feel this about you. It says, it's right for me to feel this about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. I don't know when it was, but I underlined those three words, all of you. It's mentioned three times. You know, I feel, this is how I feel about all of you. Or, you know, all of you share in God's grace with me. You know, I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. You know, there is, the church is great when it has this this sense of fellowship, of belonging together, of being a community. And I believe the church is great when things are not so great. I believe the church is great when the going is tough. But it's great when we realize the value of the all of you. And this has been a challenging year with that. It's been so easy for us to kind of scatter and to stay in our own homes and kind of just look after our own households. And yes, we've needed to do that. But we've needed to do things that build community. We've needed to find creative ways of engaging with one another. And I believe there's a challenge there for us to step back in. I believe the church is called to be a lasting community, but not just to be that, to build that. And for that all of you experience to be something that touches the world around about us. I believe that the church can live and it can fly in the face of selfish individualism. And I think the likes of a pandemic and the likes of the concern where we all got to rush out and buy more toilet paper than we can use for months and months and months, and we all got to stock up on all the things because we don't know how to be a community. I believe the church is great because it can actually counter the culture of the poverty-stricken way that Western culture lives without community. The all of you affects our feelings. Paul's feelings are affected. It is right for me to feel this about all of you, he says. It affects his experience of grace because all of you share in God's grace with me. And it affects the longing of his heart, the hope that he has, the affection that he has. And I wonder whether that's a reality for you in this family or in the family that you're part of. So I believe the church is great when it has the all of you factor. I believe the church is great when it prays. I've said that before and I say it again because here in verse 9 it says, "And this is my prayer." Church is great when it prays. The church is great when its love abounds. And so he prays that their love might abound. I believe the church is great when its knowledge of Jesus is on the increase. I believe the church is great when it has depth of insight. I believe the church is great when it has the capacity to discern what is best. I'm not making this up. It's here. I believe the church is great when it has an understanding of what it is to have a whole heart, to be undivided in its heart, and its heart to be pure and desirous of the things of God, and to be made blameless because of the grace of God. I believe the church is great when it has a sense of expectation that there will be a day when Jesus returns. This is not as good as it gets. God has something better, far better in store for you if you belong to him. I believe the church is great when it's filled with the fruit of righteousness. Not its own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus, which is credited to us when we belong to him. I believe the church is great when it knows that it lives for the glory and the praise of God. Something had changed in Saul's heart, hadn't it? Big time. The man that would throw Christians into prison, when he encountered Jesus, when he had to bend the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, something changed in his life big time. He went from being a Jesus hater, a Jesus persecutor, a persecutor of the church, to one who loved Jesus and knew the love and grace of God, and to one who loved the people of God. An amazing change, a huge adjustment, a wonderful transformation had happened to him. And even though the going was tough and he was now imprisoned himself because of his preaching of the gospel, God was still at work in him. Now, I don't know what 2021 is going to amount to, and neither do you. But we can be a people whose hope and confidence is in God. And we can be a people who live our lives, say, yes, I dream of the church being great. And I'm not talking about the church on Sunday morning. I'm talking about the church at large. The church in its centness. The church in living in the purposes of God every day of the week. I always find myself trying to catch myself and rephrase when I say, you know, we're going to church. Well, how do you go to church when you are the church? When you're always the church? When I go out and spend a bit of time with William, we're the church, doing the stuff the church does. When I'm riding around on Wednesday mornings with blokes on bikes, the church is at work, together, living our lives, sharing the gospel, praying for people that are part of the blokes on bikes thing who don't know Jesus yet. The church is doing its job. And when you turn up to work, you're still the church. And you can live your life saying, Lord, I'm here to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. I'm here to trust you to provide every other thing that I think I need. I just want to see the church great. I think in 2021, I just pray that the church would be great in our gatheredness and in our sentness. And I pray that we'd take God at his word and we would look at something like this and we would say, yes, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And he has. And he does. And he still will. So my friends, this is our last Sunday together. I was just going to leave a bit of a pause. Just for the shock value, Albert, you know. Yes, it's our last Sunday together this year. Well, I wonder, as we step in, if God gives us a time, if his breath is still in our lungs tomorrow, how would we live our lives as followers of Jesus and see his kingdom come and see his will done on earth as it is in heaven? How do we play our part in that? Well, if you've got your Bibles open, you'd probably just need to flick across the page to chapter 2 and verse 12, and I'll finish with this before we just sing another couple of songs that declare the greatness of God. In verse 12 of chapter 2, it says, therefore, my dear friends, you can kind of see the all of you affectionate feeling in that. As you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Does that mean you work for your salvation? Somehow you've got to do some really big things to get God to accept you? No, not at all. Continue to cooperate wholeheartedly with Jesus as you see the awesome things. Yeah, awesome used to be the word back in the 80s, wasn't it? Yeah, everything was awesome. We had a girl and her husband that was down at Theo's a year or so ago, and she's an American. Americans always use awesome. And she said, oh, you and Michael are awesome. And I said, oh, good grief, you know. But this is what it's saying. Cooperate with God, what God is doing in his saving work in your life, because it is an awesome thing. You should be awestruck at the fact that God would save you. For it is God, verse 30, for it's God who works in your life to will and to act according to his good purpose. So my friends, my brothers, my sisters, I'd say to all of you, may your heart be caught up into the purposes of God. May you pray and say, God, help me to see what you're doing in this part of the world you've put me in, and help me to join you in that, because That's what you're here for. That's why you've got breath in your lungs. Because it's God who is at work in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Not my good purpose. Not your good purpose. His good purpose. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the little ones that are here. And we are hoping that they've got lots and lots and lots of years in front of them to, Lord, experience your good purpose. And Father, may they grow up and to know you, Lord Jesus, to know your love and your grace and your peace, and to know that the work you've started in their life, you'll carry on to completion until the day, Jesus, you come back. And Father, whether we're the youngest or the oldest here, I pray that we might be people that just wholeheartedly want to, Lord, seek you and find you and know you and trust you. To know your grace and your peace. To know your salvation. And to be awestruck by the fact that you'd save us and make us yours. We want to thank you, Lord, that it's you who is at work in us to will and to act according to your good purpose. And we will praise you and thank you and ask you to open our eyes to it. Open our hearts to it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And we say together, Amen.